just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 493. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined today with my co-host, Nicole Shiro. And I'm just going to pretend that she's here in the room, but she's not. But she will be. So you're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live as we oftentimes do at KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, step right up. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Gotta think quick.
It is Wednesday, November 28th. 1900, no, it is 2018. On the show today, we have the Scottish Rite Theater and their show, Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party. And then later, we're going to talk to someone from the cast of Love Never Dies on the national tour. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, and Tim Buck, too. Don't go away. Okay, that was from a little show called Hadestown.
I'm just obsessed with this show.
I know you are.
Just
we're gonna
obsessed
talk,
with
we're
it.
Going to talk a little bit about it in a second, but first, before we do that, Nicole Shiro, you've had a heck of a day today, haven't you?
I have. I found out one of my oldest friends went into hospice today.
Oh.
Then I had someone nail me in my car today, although I'm okay. But the lady behind me was not okay, and the other car drove off. So I'm like, really? Yeah, it's not very holiday today.
Yeah,
no,
well,
I need a jazz hand.
There, you got jazz hands.
Jazz
but
hand. Football was awesome Monday night, so you know.
Yeah, we love our football. and there, speaking of football, we had a little holiday called Thanksgiving.
We did.
Yes.
Did that was a boring football game. I ate too much, like everyone else, and
then right.
had pie for days after for dinner, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Well,
it was good.
Lovely. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have Megan Ortiz. Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm here.
We have April Garcia.
Hello.
Hello. We have Megan Pritchett. And here we are. We're going to test the microphone. Go ahead.
Hello.
It works. Wonderful.
It's like
hi,
the
welcome.
Cabaret mic is
and,
back today.
And Laura Freeman, welcome back.
Hi, Lisa. Hi.
We're going to have fun. So we missed you last week, Miss Nicole Shiro. You had a back injury.
My back is...
But I did best I could on my own. You know, it's not the same without you.
It's not the same when you're not here either. It's not the same when we're not together.
That's true. We need to be together wherever we go.
Okay. Sheps and Shiro, Shiro and Sheps.
That's right. So we were listening to a little piece of music from Hadestown, which is currently playing in London. And very soon... to be playing on Broadway.
I know.
Announced the Broadway opening.
We knew it was coming, but the excitement, I would think, was yesterday. They said, was
yep,
it yesterday?
It was indeed.
When they said, April.
April in Paris.
I got a little excited.
Yep. So Hadestown is by Ennis Mitchell, and it reimagines the ancient Orpheus and Eurydice? Anybody? Anyway, it's a myth. they call it a tragic love story with prescient allusions to contemporary geopolitics.
And the music is so
it
eclectic.
Really
like it's so weird because it really almost covers like every genre, and then you're like, well, there's no thread to it. Yet there is such a thread to all the music. I mean, that it's one of the first albums when I started listening recently in Broadway albums that I had to download the whole thing right away.
I did
was like,
too.
Oh, man, this is great.
So it's directed by Rachel Chavkin, who also did this little show called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Yes.
Which I got to see. Was anybody see that one other
no.
than me?
Lisa Chavs.
No.
It was pretty amazeballs. It has the Great Comet alumna. Amber Gray in it, and then two Spider-Man in the Dark alumnus.
The Patrick Page and the Reeve Carney.
Yep.
And Yeah.
And Eva I can't pronounce her last name, Nobazaleta, who was a, she was a winner on the Jimmy Awards.
Yep.
And I think she was maybe the first Jimmy winner that has several. Now there's been several that have gone on to like fame and fortune.
She
on
was
the stage.
One of the first ones she was that one of the like first. Really did that. She was like the Kelly Clarkson of the bunch.
She was.
She busted out first before the rest.
So Jimmy Awards, for those of you who don't know, are the High School Musical Awards, the National High School Musical Awards. They're named after James Nederlander. And so that's very, very interesting. And she got the leading role in this latest production of Miss Saigon.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And then Andre DeShields is in it.
I was like, it's a great cast.
So what I find interesting about this particular article, they say the names of the people, and in parentheses they say what they're known for. And everybody's known for it. Andre DeShields is still known for The Wiz.
Is that what it still has in there?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's funny. Anyway,
you know, it's not a bad thing to be known for.
No, not at all. Fair. Not at all. It opens on April 17th at the Walter Kerr Theater, which is currently housing what?
Dun, dun, dun.
Bruce Springsteen.
Dun, 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 dun,
which we're going to talk about a little
I know. Yeah.
A little later. So this is the 11th musical to open up on Broadway this season.
It's kind of exciting.
It will be the 11th.
That's kind of exciting.
So, speaking of musicals on Broadway, this is not on our list of things to talk about, but I just learned before we went on the air that Ms. Megan Ortiz, sitting here in our studio, was in New York last week. And what was the show you went to see, Megan?
I went to go see King Kong.
Oh,
King
Kong. I saw it too.
What did you think?
Hold on, wait. We know what you think. So I want to hear what Megan thinks.
She has what I think. I'm like, I did not go in with expectations. Did you?
I did not. But I will say, and I was saying this before we even came in here, that I do know one of the people in the show. I have a friend that is a swing in the show that helps to puppeteer King Kong. So one of the reasons we wanted to go see this one specifically was because I knew someone in the show. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Of course, we ended up going on a night that she was not performing.
Really? Oh, that's a bummer.
So that was kind of a bummer.
Well, but what did you think of the show?
So the show was fun to watch. The biggest spectacle of it was King Kong. I mean,
the show's awful.
The show is terrible.
The show is really, really bad.
So now I've heard conflicting things. Nicole really loved the puppet. I've heard different things from the puppet's great to the puppet's okay to there's nothing to see with the puppet. So I've seen everything around.
How could someone say there's nothing to see with the puppet?
It was not worth the hype is what most people were saying.
Oh, yeah, I don't get that.
That were negative about the puppet.
If they only saw the scene with the serpent, then I would agree.
Fair, yes.
Anyway, it is.
The serpent was no good. I will say, I think the choreography was incredible. The choreography was gorgeous.
That's what I said. That was the other thing I said is the ensemble was so talented. And that choreography was out of this world and the puppet. Everything else was awful.
Yeah.
But so. I would go to see the puppet, and that's why I went. Yeah. I went just to see the spectacle.
And it's living past its means. One of the podcasts I listen to when they talk about the grosses, and it's still up there in the grosses. Mm-hmm. I think it's over six figures every week. But they were like surprised that it's still hanging on. I'm not surprised. The producers knew it was going to be a flop. Critically, and they don't care. And they're going to keep
it running. My brother and I were talking about it yesterday, and he goes, "I think it'll do well through the holidays." He goes, "People want to see that spectacle that are the tourists coming to visit." And I go, "I agree," because he saw it with me too. Here's my question for you:
Are you going to talk about the gorilla rave?
My 12-year-old niece said, "Why are they playing EDM?"
Yes.
I was like, "Hello." were you? Oh, shoot, I forgot my darn question now.
All right, well.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, I'm sure. So here's what's going to happen. In about 10 minutes, she'll pop up with it.
Yeah, I know.
And we cannot stop her from bringing it, no matter what's happening.
Perfect.
So we are going to do a ticket giveaway here, and I'm going to mention it now.
Drum roll.
So that people. Yeah, it's not that drum rolly. No, it is. Yay. But it's the Capital City Men's Chorus. They're doing their holiday. Their holiday chorus show called, oh my God, what's it called? It's called Holiday Something. Finding Joy. And anyway, they asked me if I could offer two tickets to anybody that wanted to come see it. Not anybody. The first person to email us, which is really the only way you can do it. And if you email lisa@offstageonair.com, you will get two tickets to Finding Joy. It is December 1st and 2nd. at the St. Martin's Ev Lutheran Church. I don't know what Ev means, but it's there on 15th Street. So if you want two tickets, be the first one to email Lisa at offstageonair.com. And if you do it while we're doing our show, we'll announce your name on the air. Unless you don't want us to, and then say that in the email. So that's that. We didn't have any opening, so no reviews per se, but who did everybody watch the...
I was like, well, there kind of was because of the parade.
That's where I'm going. Did anybody watch the parade?
I did.
Okay.
Live.
So I watched it live. I tend to, I watched it live for a while, but I recorded it and fast forwarded to just the shows.
That's me.
So
King Kong was on the CBS broadcast.
Right. And I did not see that. King Kong and Dear Evan Hansen, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Those were the two on CBS.
So what'd y'all think of the parade?
But Megan was actually there.
I was literally there. Yeah.
Oh, you were there.
On the coldest parade on record.
Did you have seats?
No. So what it was, we stayed in a hotel that was right off of 6th Ave. So we were just at a disadvantage to not be able to see it from our hotel room. But I was able to go downstairs with my coffee and watch some and then go back in and get warm and then go back out. So it was very nice.
Do you have an opinion on the musical numbers? If you were to choose one of the ones that you liked or didn't like,
I'm going to be honest, I was too far away to even be able to see anything.
Okay, so. Nicole, are those of us that watched it on TV?
None of them really excited me.
Yeah, me either.
But I laughed. The excitement was all of a sudden the Donna Summer musical came on and my brother came running from the kitchen and he goes, Donna Summer was on Broadway and you didn't tell me this one when we went? And I looked at him and I go, trust me, you didn't want to go.
I was
like, King Kong was enough for you. He was like, I'm liking the outfits.
Donna Summer, the musical. But it was not without controversy this year. Kind of controversy. So this picture for those of you in the studio. So during the prom, there was a same-sex kiss at the end, which most of us, as we were watching it, didn't really register as anything. Well, the interwebs lit up. It turns out this is the first same-sex kiss in the parade ever in history. And that's cool. And it's good that it was sort of a non-event. There were some groups that were unhappy with it, but most of all the comments were positive.
It was funny. It was like after it happened, and you know, Morgan and I were texting and watching, and then after it happened, I looked at my brother and I went, oh, I think that might have been the first time. Like, it totally wasn't anything to me. I didn't think anything of it, which was awesome. And then I stopped and had this moment, and I'm like, well, that's kind of awesome. I didn't think about it. But then it's kind of not awesome that I'm thinking of it. There was this, I had this weird moment myself internally, like, afterwards. But I think it's great.
Yeah, I do as well.
I mean, it's part of the show, and it's life, people.
I wanted to like that number a lot more than I did.
I didn't like it either. No, nothing excited me.
Nothing exciting.
That's what I said. I was like, I really wish it was an exciting number you did that on.
So I didn't even watch the whole thing.
Even the Mean Girls number was stinky. There was no Regina George in that number. That was not cool.
Well, that was not cool.
She is a massive deal. She should have been there.
Yeah, she should have been.
So, yeah, no.
All right. So for those of you that tuned in last week, we talked about trigger warnings. There was a
New York Times
article in the New York Times about trigger warnings that we talked about last week, and it talked about the different points of view about whether or not to have trigger warnings, whether we're going too far away about warning people about what's going to happen in the theater, and does that take away a little bit from the theater makers, because part of the theater is to evoke emotion, and if you're giving things away. So it had a bunch of comments, so much so that they had to publish another article. So one of the things here is written, this is written by Michael Paulson. He said, some argue that theater should be challenging, while others argue that warnings are valuable customer service. So here's some select comments that they got.
We should say it's not just warnings. They're talking about warnings that go further than just saying there's strobe lights, but there's also going to be this.
Yeah, know, we talked about this in depth last
I know,
week.
But if someone wasn't listening last week, if they may ask, what are you two talking about? What kind of warnings?
Let me tell you, if you did not listen last week, I invite you to go to offstageonair.com and listen to last week's show. So John Gallagher from North Ferrisburg, Vermont said, you're supposed to be shocked, surprised, and confronted by drama. If you prefer milquetoast, stay home and watch cable. Theater is clearly not for you. Thought that was interesting. So Teresa Kelly said, when I saw Equus many years ago, an elderly gentleman in the theater went into shock when the actors on stage disrobed completely. His wife, who apparently thought he was having a heart attack, started shaking him and yelling. He was fine. He just became breathless at the sight of nudity. If we had a trigger warning in the 70s, I'm guessing that there were theater goers who would have passed on this. There would have been theater goers that would have passed on Equus, which is an amazing piece of theater.
Which is funny. That made me laugh, too, because everybody ran to Hair because there was nudity. And right. I was like, where's the...
Well, that... But if you take the two shows, and Equus, there's no hint in Equus that something
no,
like that's
and there really happen. Isn't nudity in Hair. I
there
mean,
really
it's
isn't.
2 seconds. Equus, there is. I mean... It's apples and oranges, but it made me giggle.
Yeah. This is one I sort of want to read in full. So it's kind of long. This is by Todd Freeman from Columbus, Ohio. I'm not surprised, but nonetheless saddened by some of the responses. I feel the majority of us can handle anything a theater could throw at us, but this doesn't cancel out the human beings that can't. This idea that we're creating soft people or having to coddle little snowflakes, those that hold these thoughts should try to understand the world of survivors of rape, torture, abuse in the minds of refugees or the veterans we routinely send into terrible situations. What a luxury for the rest of us to walk through daily life without memories of a nightmare lurking just beneath the surface of our daily lives. I think that's an amazing point, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's something mm-hmm. that I don't think of because I'm not necessarily one of those people, although there would be things that would trigger me mm-hmm. as anybody. So it's an interesting thing. Here's a part of what Tanya Miller of Oswego, New York said, whether to warn or not is the theater venue's choice. And apparently it's mostly a business decision based on avoiding loss of revenue. True as well, which is what, our guest last
week
said.
But is it? Because I'd like to know, what if they hadn't have posted that? How many? I mean, where are they getting that from? It could have been a greatest hit if they didn't put these disclaimers up.
Yeah, it's also a litigation thing. It protects from litigation as well. Let's see. I think that's... Oh, no, I wanted to read this one. Let's see. If I saw... I don't even remember what it says, but I'm going to read it. If I saw warnings about dull... Oh, I like this one. If I saw warnings about dull dialogue, ungainly steps, heaving bosoms, senseless witticisms, overrung hand-wringing, puny plots and such, I'd say thanks for saving me the price of a ticket.
Well, that's a review.
Yeah, so that's what I would have done outside of Jekyll and Hyde. Thank you for not making me spend this money. But anyway, I thought it's an interesting thing to talk about. Anybody watch the TV show Room 104?
No.
Okay. It's a TV show by the Duplass brothers. It's like it's of the ilk of these weird kind of night gallery, whatever that other show was that Rod Sterling did. The Twilight Zone kind of thing. It's these weird things. It's a series that always happens in one particular hotel room. And this year, this season, it's been kind of very odd. But last night I saw. I had recorded it, and it's a musical.
Oh, that's kind of
it's
hilarious.
It's a half-hour musical that's actually pretty delightful. So, and weird at the same time. But it was a musical in the standard sense of the word, in that the characters are driven to song by and brings the story forward versus them just singing.
Just breaking out in a song.
So, it was pretty cool.
If one was interested in this show, Room 104, you said?
I think one might...
Where do you find it?
I think one could... you could probably Google Room 104, but I believe it's an HBO show.
Got it.
An HBO show, which rhymes.
Kaboom.
I want to talk about this because I'm an ex-stage manager. Broadway Symposium 2019 is the stage manager's... the Broadway Stage Management Symposium. Fifth year in a row. It's designed by stage managers for stage managers at every level of experience. I might. I didn't even know this existed.
I think you would have a ball at this.
So one of the things they talk about stage managers, it says they do not receive ovations or awards, yet they ensure every element of the show works by the way show works the way the creative team intended. The job receives few accolades while carrying big responsibilities, which is true. Mm-hmm. It sounds really fascinating, and I didn't even know it existed.
Where is it this year?
It's always in New York, I believe, and it's founded by Matthew Stern, who is a stage manager from Finding Neverland, Spider-Man, The Little Mermaid, Wicked, Death of a Salesman, Fiddler on the Roof, et cetera, et cetera. So that sounds interesting.
That does sound interesting. Awesome. When is it again? April?
I did not say when it was, did I?
No, it's in June. You did. So it's in June.
It is in June. June 1st and 2nd in Midtown Manhattan. Just so all you have to do is go to Midtown Manhattan.
And just stand there on June 1st and 2nd, yeah, and you'll be good to go.
So one would guess
that's around the time you get the view, too, of Manhattan with the sun from one end to the other. Isn't it that first week in June or second week in June? It's right in there.
I do not know.
Yeah, I think
yo
it's right around
no
there.
Say. Okay, I'm just checking to see if anybody won our tickets yet, real quick, like. Yes, we have a ticket. So
should we need another drum roll?
Hold on, let me make sure that it's okay to talk. There's a okay. We can say you may say my name on the air. Rhymes with sobriety. It says.
Oh, and who?
But I would not have come up with that from it because I would have said. I will say what I would have said first, and then what it actually is. Mark Briody.
Okay.
That rhymes with sobriety. So Mark.
Briody.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Mark.
That's
you get
kind
two
of
free
a cool
tickets.
Name.
He sings with Acapella Texas. It's a barbershop chorus.
Love it, Mark.
So that's great. And he says he's a regular listener. Mark, we love you.
I was just about to say, Mark, do you listen all the time? So then Mark knew what we were talking about.
Yeah,
when we were talking about triggers. Mark was the one yelling, going, I don't need to know. I knew last week. I listened last week. Nicole.
I actually know Mr. Mark. Congratulations.
Oh,
that makes it even better.
So, Michael Riedel had a column. He talked about a thing that, he always has the scoop before anybody else.
He likes to talk about things, that Michael.
He does. But he gets the scoop before anybody else.
Well, he's Michael.
So Live Nation, CAA, Creative Artists Associates, and Entertainment Benefits Group they're about to snap up, this is quote, they are about to snap up a Broadway theater where A-list rock, pop, and country performers will be, quote, in residency for 3-week stints.
Yeah, I know.
And so this is kind of based on Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And at first I went, well, okay. And then, I have to agree with one of the podcasts I listen to. So to tie up a Broadway theater, which we already don't have enough Broadway
started.
Houses, for a concert for 3 weeks, I just think is not good
I
for the
I can't say
Broadway
the words
community.
On air without us getting fined. That's how angry it makes me.
Yeah. So it's a flibbertigibbet.
It's baloney.
It's baloney. Exactly. So I just thought that's interesting. But Springsteen on Broadway, which is arguably a mix of theater and concert, I said arguably, is about to close. But they're going to do an interesting thing, a cool thing. They're going to stream on Netflix.
The trailers are out.
Yeah, the trailers are out. And the trailer is long and boring,
Was like, this Jersey girl loves him, Bruce. It is long and boring.
Long and boring.
I'd rather bump into him at the Stone Pony and have a beer.
There you go. So it's going to be shown on Broadway on the 16th of December on Netflix.
Because they don't have any money and need a little bit more.
Well, I'm going to...
Did you see the article this week? Highest resale value on a ticket now is Bruce's show, not Hamilton.
I'm not going to be as cynical as you, and I'm going to say that they're doing it so more people can see it.
Well, they're still getting $1,900 a seat.
Yep.
So, are they really being that kind?
I'm talking about the Netflix thing.
I'm just saying.
Netflix is free to those people
that
have Netflix.
He's been in that theater for about 6 months longer than he's supposed to be.
That's true.
Shows could have gone
in
there.
That's true. Okay. All right. Are we done? So show is going in there, Hadestown.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But Hadestown could have been there quicker.
It's a small house.
Darn you, Bruce.
It's a 900-seat house. So that's actually pretty small for a musical. Mm-hmm. And a very quaint little tiny place
but
for Bruce Springsteen.
It doesn't surprise me. I thought they would go into a really small space because when you see all the staging of Hadestown, it is really small. It's kind of like the audience is sitting right there with you as they're playing their instruments.
All right, we got to get moving. We have to take a little. I'm just looking at my list to see. Yeah, I pretty much. Oh, we do have closings. Once on This Island is closing January 6th.
That makes me sad.
I know, me too.
It's a great show.
It played 460. It'll play just over 460 performance. Head Over Heels is closing the same day.
Didn't surprise me.
Yeah, it hasn't been doing well. They've been hanging on by a thread.
I'm actually surprised it stayed open as long as it did. And
most
I think it's
did.
Due to the fans. And I think that's great because the fans are the ones who really want to have that.
Speaking of fans, it's kind of hot in the studio. Just going to say that. All right, we're gonna take a little. We're gonna take a little break. Hold on, I threw my cheat sheet away, and we're gonna listen to. Oh, why did I have My Fair Lady? There was a reason why I had My Fair Lady.
Because Laura sang in the parade.
No, that wasn't it. I don't remember why we why I decided to do My Fair Lady. But here it is. It's from My Fair Lady. Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? We'll be right back.
Why can't the English teach their children?
We are back. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole.
Shiro and Sheps.
On Offstage and On the Air. We've been having lovely conversations with Laura Freeman, Megan Ortiz, Megan Pritchett, and April Garcia. And now we're going to talk to them directly. Find
we're
out what
talk
what
to
the
people.
What the double H-E double hockey sticks they're doing here.
What?
It's like, why are they, why have they invaded our studio and
why?
With keyboards and microphones and things.
Cabaret mic. I love the cabaret mic is out
cabaret
in action today.
Is
that's
out.
My favorite mic. Yeah. It's out in action today.
For those of you in the know, that's an SM58 that's
yeah.
out there. Otherwise known as a cabaret mic. I will say this has been on my list of things to talk about for 2 weeks. I haven't gotten to it. True Blood the musical. That's all I'll say.
You know, I almost text you.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about who's here. We're gonna we welcome that back, everybody. This is Scottish Rite Theater and their production of Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party. We have Laura Freeman, who is the songwriter.
That's
are
correct.
You also the book writer, or is there a book, or is it just a bunch of songs?
No, Susan Todd adapted the book from a book.
Pippi Longstocking's.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah, I know about it. I'm with you. We have Megan Pritchett.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back. You would be the musical director and keyboard player here for us right now. Are you also playing keyboard during the show?
Yep.
Awesome. Are there other instrumentations?
No, it's really just going to be keyboard this time.
Okay, that's fine.
She's holding it all that's down fine. Herself.
I
mean,
I would have added an oboe or a marimba.
Maybe she has it in the keyboard.
I did cello and recorder in the past, but...
April Garcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you're playing Elof.
I am.
Okay, I knew that. And then Megan Ortiz.
Yes, hello.
So you are the titular role, correct?
I am indeed.
You are also the marketing person for...
Scottish Rite Theater. I am.
Mazel tov, as we say.
Thank you. Thank you.
So who wants to give us, what's this show, Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party, about?
So Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party is about Miss Pippi Longstocking wanting to throw a party the day after Christmas. So she invites all the children in town to come to her house for a Christmas party where they eat cream cakes and drink hot cocoa and slide off her roof and play in the igloo.
All the fun things that Pippi
play
likes
in
to
the
do.
Igloo. Is it an actual igloo made out of ice?
You just have to come and find out.
Oh my gosh, it's y'all are true. So mean. I'm sitting on pins and needles here.
So along the way, Pippi and her friends invite a new kid in town into their fold and befriend him, which is Miss April Garcia playing Elof. And they also adopt a stray dog who has been out in the world all by himself named Perk. And we also
meet... Is Perk played by a human being?
Perk is. Perk is played by Miss Griselda Silva.
She's tiny like a dog.
Yeah,
and
like,
wonderful.
That just made me melt when you said that.
She's fantastic. And then, of course, we meet our antagonist played by Laura Freeman.
Oh, that's right. I forgot, Laura, you're in it. So you're the bad guy.
I don't like children.
Well, who does, really?
She said that with joy.
And so the whole play is really about friendship and generosity and, you know, all of the things that we need to be reminded of as these holidays approach, like you were saying.
We do. So we're going to take a little side trip here and do our...
Our magical number.
It's not magical numbers anymore. It's just a random legal ID that comes in. So let's see what we're going to get today. That's the wrong thing. I played the...
Hi, I'm Ben Main with the cast of South Pacific, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Okay, I think he
How
has...
South Pacific, he is
he
always on.
Always on. He is a... He's a hog.
We can't wash that man out of our hair.
We can't wash that. Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of that other thing, but no, I didn't go there.
Well,
so let's get back to Pippi Longstocking. So those of us that grew up reading Pippi Longstocking and seeing the illustrations have probably a very vivid picture of what she looks like. Is that how you are portraying her? Is that, will we see that Pippi Longstockings,
you
Megan?
Will indeed. We have Miss Desiree Humphreys is our costume designer.
Uh-huh. Oh, she's awesome.
She's amazing, and she has created an incredible wig and an incredible just palette for all of us. The costumes look fantastic, so we're really excited. So yes, you will.
Yay! Mm-hmm. Then, well, then, and then you've got my vote. yeah, I just, I couldn't tell.
Who would ever do Pippi without the braids and the just crazy? Saying. I mean, That's not Pippi.
It's not.
But
it's
Pippi is here. Pippi's at the Scottish Rite. This is Pippi.
So this is at the Scottish Rite, and you told me you have your first school group tomorrow, right?
We do.
Now, are they coming to you or are you going to them?
They come to us. The kids come to us. Mm-hmm.
So okay. What ages is this show? Because I know, you know, sometimes with kid shows, you can have a wide variety, young variety. So what... Who does it speak to the most? I mean, Pippi speaks to adults all the time because we grew up with it. But right. With the children...
I mean, this is really kind of an all-ages show. I would say it's probably more geared towards our elementary schools, which is generally what our TYA does. However, I do know that on Friday, we have 11th and 12th graders coming in.
Really?
To see
us. Oh, that's kind of exciting.
Which is really, really exciting.
That's kind of interesting because, you know, when I was in those grades, we would have been your worst nightmare.
No, I wouldn't have.
I'm just saying what I would have
but
done.
But I think it's because I was obsessed with Pippi as a kid. You know, I've been like, Pippi for the day. Yeah.
Well, I think we're really lucky because I do believe that this is a theater class that's getting to come in.
Okay.
So that's going to be cool. Nice. But we also have kindergartners in with them that day. So it's going to be really fun to play to both those age groups at the same time.
Well, that's great. So now how long ago?
Their inhibitions will go down to more children with the children in there and being watching them. Mm-hmm. That'll be exciting.
I think so.
There you go. Well, we'll send a roving reporter crew with a camera to check it out. Laura, how long ago did you start working on this piece?
This piece, I think I wrote the first couple of songs maybe 2-3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Because, that's really quick.
Well, Susan comes up with the idea. Mm-hmm. And
Susan Gale Todd.
Uh-huh. And she said she wanted spectacle, so I came out with...
You did stuff with glasses.
The first song, ha, 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 ha.
So the first song is very spectacle-y?
Yeah, it'll get right in your brain and make you crazy. And then the second song I wrote was actually the song we're going to perform today because I really bonded with this kid that was the new kid who didn't know any of the other kids. So I wrote him this very sweet song that April does a fantastic job on.
Well, that's an awesome segue to get right into it. So is there was there any more of a lead up that we would need to for this song? Or do you want to just jump into it?
Well, just go to being a little kid and you don't know anyone else.
Yeah, well, that's the story of my life right now.
Okay, well... Maybe we'll get a few tears out of you, Lisa.
Okay, I hope so. Okay, so everybody, this is April Garcia. She'll be performing the song New Kid in Town from Scottish Rite Theater's production of Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party.
I'm the new kid in town. No one wants me around. They don't want me joining in their games. I'm the new kid in town. I'm lost and not found. I don't know any of their names. I see they're having a party, but I won't know anyone. I'm probably not invited. Gosh, it sure looks fun. I'm the new kid in town, no one wants me around. I'm feeling so blue, wish I knew what to do. But what if they don't like me? What if they tell me to scram? I'll just hang out lonely, 'cause a new kid is what I am.
Woo woo woo! Woo 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 woo! Woo 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 woo!
I see they're having a party, but I won't know anyone. I'm probably not invited. Gosh, it sure looks fun. kid in town. No one wants me around. I'm feeling so blue. Wish I knew what to do. But what if they don't like me? What if they tell me to scram? I'll just hang out lonely, 'cause a new kid is what I am.
Oh my God, what fun is that?
Yeah, that was
and
a
who
lot
let
of
that
fun.
Dog in here? We do not allow dogs in the studio. So, yeah, I love
really
the dog.
Happy.
That, that reminds me of my stint playing a dog when I played Toto. I had a line in the
song. That's right, you did play Toto. I played the donkey.
For 6 months I played Toto.
So
you
did
played
we,
the donkey
played
in Wizard of Oz?
No, I played donkey in Man of La Mancha.
Oh, so that what a great, fun song. And I'm assuming that all the songs have different styles. Yeah,
yes.
you're nodding, which
yes.
doesn't work on the radio.
Yes, they do. They all generally fall under the jazz umbrella, but yeah, they all do have different styles. Yeah.
The jazz umbrella? Yeah. That was my sorority name in college.
I love it.
The jazz. That
true.
Is a good one.
Actually, that was the name of my band in high school.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. So that's fun. And I think that everybody, or most everybody, I don't think everybody can relate to that feeling. Don't you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's a lonely, you know, kind of place where I'm sure we've all kind of been maybe once in our lives.
I went I was extremely popular, so I didn't have to worry about
I
that.
I went to 14 different schools in 2 different states and 3 different cities, and yeah, I know.
You know
yeah.
I know exactly
I went to 18
that is.
Schools in 20 cities and 40 countries in
oh
3 worlds.
I'm not proud of going to that many schools. It makes me, it upsets me.
I just
stinks.
Know with the trouble that I had, I changed schools in 5th grade at the end of elementary school, and that was very traumatic for me. And mm-hmm. I held it over my parents' heads till the day they died. They felt terrible. I was a miserable kid after that. Well, this is great. So you guys are opening tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
And how long do you play?
We are running from December 1st through December 15th.
Okay, but so tomorrow is obviously, is tomorrow December 1st?
Tomorrow is our school the shows, but our public okay. shows are running December 1st.
You scared me. It can't be December 1st.
Well, I mean, it's only like 2 extra days away. It's not that many more. But
So where can folks go to get it? I assume this is open to the public?
Yes. On December 1st.
And through the 15th. And where can folks go to get information about the show?
They can go to Scottish Rite Theater with an ER .org, or we also have our Austin Scottish Rite Theater Facebook page and our SRT Austin Instagram as well. And we do giveaways on both of those
there you
places.
Go. So there's that's something you can look for to get more information from that point. Well, thank you guys so much for being
thank you
on.
All for being
I
here.
Hope
thank
some
you.
Or all of you can stick around and join us backstage. We have a lot of fun back there.
We do.
Okay. Wonderful. So that was Laura Freeman, Megan Pritchett, April Garcia, and Megan Ortiz of Scottish Rite Theater's production of Pippi Longstocking's After Christmas Party, playing December 1st through December 15th at the Scottish Rite Theater. More information, Scottish Rite Theater with an ER.org. We'll be right back.
Howdy do! My name is Pippi.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage E on the, Offstage E on the Air. I went Spanish there for a little second. On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Cheps and Shiro.
Shiro and Cheps. So that was all sorts of fun.
That was fun. I love that Pippi.
So who doesn't love Pippi?
I love Pippi.
I just like to say Pippi.
Pippi and Encyclopedia Brown. I was down.
Okay. oh, no. I got to find my little piece of paper. So
is it under your foot?
It is indeed.
It is indeedy.
It is indeed. So locally, I wanted to talk about this. This is a production of Street Corner Arts. It's playing at Hyde Park Theater. It's called We Are Proud to Present. And it is a presentation about the Herero of Nambia. So it sounds really interesting. It has 3 people of color and 3 not people of color, 3 white people, I guess. It seems pretty interesting. For more information, I believe you could go to streetcornerarts.org. And it seems really fascinating. It's written by Jackie Sibley's Drury.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah, also my sorority name in college.
There you go.
Some of the Washington Post said it's a genuine thunderbolt, devastatingly funny, dangerous, and primal. So
I like that. Dangerous and primal.
Dangerous and primal. It's at Hyde Park Theater, Street Corner Arts. It runs November 30th through December 15th. StreetCornerArts.org. Was there anything that you wanted to...
No, I'm okay right now.
Okay. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Fun Home, which opens a week from tomorrow at Ground Floor Theater. More information there at groundfloortheater.org. It's an amazing show. They will be here on the show next week, and you can meet some of the cast.
Boom, boom, boom.
And hopefully the director will come as well, and you can talk to them.
Well, you know, we have to let the director out.
We do. So then anybody here have anything they want to talk about locally other than, of course, Pippi Longstocking? Anything y'all want to talk about?
Oh man,
it's your last chance.
So many things opening that I'd like to see, but I haven't.
Name one.
Name one thing you want to see.
So we've got Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
It's okay. The last weekend. Yeah.
We have Great Expectations. Yeah. We have White. We have...
So tell me about White. I don't know that one.
I actually don't know anything about that show, like what the show is about. I, again, as we all in this community are all interconnected, we have mm-hmm. friends that are actually directing and
who's
and
doing it? How would people?
Delonte Keys and
what company is producing it? Do you know?
I actually don't. It's okay. Remember.
So I would think if you got on the Google or the Facebook and you found Delonte Keys, who we just love,
and the
word White, we'll figure it out.
Indeed,
I'm unaware of it.
Now Playing Austin too, or
Now Playing Austin? Yeah, which I was going to talk a little bit about Now Playing Austin, and we should just take a moment. Actually, no, we don't have time. NowPlayingAustin.com is really great. Let's do Today in Theater History.
Today in theater history?
Because we're running out of time.
What happened?
What happened? Oh, my God. Well, you remember 1951 at the Empire Theater.
Yes, that was a hard year for me.
I Am a Camera opened, and that's the straight play.
Oh, it is.
Tells the story of Sally Bowles.
I was like, that is the... Prelude to Le Cabaret.
Right, which is written by one Kander and Ebb.
Longest American composing duo of history.
In I Am the Camera, it was Julie Harris. Played it. It ran 214 performances.
Didn't you know the Julie Harris?
And in 1968, Morning, Noon, and Night, which are three one-acts that play together, opened. And they are three avant-garde plays. Morning is by Israel Horowitz. Noon is by Terrence McNally. Speaking of which, and Night is by Leonard Melfi. It opened at the Henry Miller Theater. Class included Robert Klein. It played 52 performances. I have done a performance. I did this once, and I did.
Did you?
I did Noon.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it's about. But I remember
it's
doing
so it. It's so funny, just working with Terrence and all this stuff. We were just talking about this piece, especially with Adam Horowitz being in the news a lot lately. Israel Horowitz?
Okay.
I have Adam Horowitz.
I don't know what
Boys.
He was in the
I
news.
Just asked for the Beastie Boys book for Christmas. That's why that's in my head.
Nice.
I don't know what that means. But anyway, today was also the day of the first time that the Laramie Project was presented, indeed, in Laramie. And that was in collaboration with Moises Kaufman and the Tectonic Theater Project.
What year?
Tectonic Theater Project, 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then in 2007 on this day, we reached a settlement with the Stagehands Union, which is striking against most Broadway shows in 2007.
I can't believe it was that long ago.
No, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, that seems like we were talking about 5 years ago.
Seems like yesterday. We got to take a break now because we need to save time for our pre-recorded interview.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Cabaret. I was going to say Natasha Kinski. Natasha Richardson.
Oh, this is
the new
revival.
One. Yeah. So here we go. We'll be right back.
Everybody loves a winner.
Support comes from Ground Floor Theater's production of Fun Home. Fun Home is based on the graphic memoir by Alison Bechdel and introduces her at three different ages, revealing memories of her dysfunctional family which connect with her in surprising ways. Fun Home plays December 6th through December 22nd. For more information and tickets, groundfloortheater.org.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and Lisa.
Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa and Nicole, Nicole, Lisa, and Megan Ortiz.
Hey.
It's a trio.
Woo woo! LMN.
Yeah, so anyway, we got to get right to it.
You didn't get that.
I did, LMN. LMNOP, which is also my sorority name in college. we sat down with the guy who played Oh, shoot, Joaquin? I forgot his name.
I think it might be, actually.
It's not Joaquin. It's something else. But we talk about it right at the top of the interview, so I won't. I'll stop making a fool of myself. So his name is Sean Thompson. He plays the wife of Christine. The husband of Christine. Well, it could be the wife. Anyway, let's just jump right in, shall we?
Let's.
And this is Love Never Dies, you guys, the sequel.
To Phantom
of the Opera. Nana!
Hey, everybody. I am thrilled to have on the telephone Sean Thompson. He is in the current production of Love Never Dies, currently on the road when we're recording this in Little Rock, Arkansas. Going to be here by the time you hear this. It's playing at the Bass Concert Hall here in Austin, Texas. Sean, welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love having you. And when we are recording this, this is the day before Thanksgiving. So for all of my listeners here at Offstage and on the Air, we just want to wish you a gobble, gobble, gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
So you are currently playing, is it Raul? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, it's actually pronounced both ways, Raul or Raul. So it's up to you, really, or it depends on what song you're singing in the show.
So Raul would be the Spanish. Raul. So Raul.
Raul, yeah. The Vicomte de Chagny, which just means a French dude with a lot of money.
Yeah, that was my sorority name in college. So this is, it's been billed as the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, but I understand that's not quite the deal. Is that right?
I would call it a sequel. I know Weber originally said that it was a standalone piece, and it definitely is. You don't have to have seen The Phantom of the Opera to see Love Never Dies.
So you don't have to show your Phantom ticket stub at the door when you come in.
No, but many do, and many do get them signed by us after the show, too.
Oh, cool.
it definitely is a sequel. You know, it's the favorite characters from Phantom of the Opera. Everybody's back, from the Phantom and Christine and Raoul and Meg Giry and Madame Giry, and it's 10 years later, and they've all, through their own ways, found themselves on Coney Island in New York City.
Of course, and where else would they be?
In the century. Of course, yeah, it's the only logical place. I would say it's a sequel, and I think, you know, Weber will now say that it's a sequel as well. I think he just thinks it's important that people, come see it, whether they like Phantom of the Opera or not. To be honest.
Well, as a surprise, we actually have Lord Weber on the line right now to join us.
Oh, great. Hi, yeah. Andrew. How are you?
Oh, darn. I just lost him. Pardon me?
Those pesky phone lines getting in all the England, way to England.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's those underwater cables. So I will be the first to admit that I am not familiar with Love Never Dies. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
And looking forward to seeing it here. But of course, I, like everybody else in the theater world, has probably seen Phantom multiple times. One of the things that I love about Phantom is just that richness of the whole spectacle of the show, especially like the scenic and the elements in the sewers, yeah, and things like that. Is there similar vibe here with this one?
Yes, definitely. I think that's what Weber does really well, right? Is the mega musical that, mm-hmm, you can call it a capital S spectacle. and it's no different in Love Never Dies. We don't have a crashing chandelier and sewers underneath the Paris Opera House, but because it's set on Coney Island, it's a lot of amazing set design based around like a roller coaster motif and the Coney Island freak shows and sideshows of the turn of the century. Lots of light shows. A lot of people comment on the lights, particularly in our show. And I would call our show a spectacle by far and large. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it looks, some of the photos I've seen, it just looks rich and vibrant and beautiful.
Absolutely. People are often wonder how we could possibly take this around the country. And it does take 11 tractor trailers to get it.
So you're an 11 trailer show. Yeah, people are 11, quite amazed, yeah, at what goes on. I wish people could see the goings on, load in, and how they transform four walls of a theater into something amazing.
Absolutely. And sometimes theaters post videos of a load in or a load out. A time lapse video.
Yep.
And it's pretty amazing because you'll see literally hundreds of people working on this thing for, you know, 11, 12 hours straight just to get it to look the way it does.
Right, because most shows actually come in complete with everything and just sort of drops it into a theater, including the floor.
Absolutely. Including the floor, and our floor is no different. Our floor is a big turntable, so it definitely travels with us and has become our best friend, to be honest, on the road here.
So tell folks... let's just say there's people, you know, Phantom has kind of a love-hate relationship in the theater world. If I don't like Phantom, why would I want to come see Love Never Dies?
Not to sound, you know, hokey or whatnot, but I think Love Never Dies has great universal themes. It's for anybody who's ever been so desperately in love with someone that they must have them, you'll find something to, you know, relate to in Love Never Dies. Anybody that's felt love on that kind of very deep level for the person that they're meant to be with for the rest of their life, and then maybe the person that they wish they could be with for the rest of their life, someone that's torn between two people. I mean, I think everyone's felt that at one point or another. There are definitely things to relate to. And also, you know, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, and so you're going to come and hear a beautiful score.
It's, you know what, Sean? I think that if Andrew Lloyd Webber applies himself, he may actually go somewhere in this business.
He's got promise. The kid has
promise. He does. The kid's going to go somewhere, I think.
You know, he wrote not only Phantom of the Opera. That's one of his big shows.
Correct.
Right? But he also wrote Evita and Jesus Christ Superstar and Sunset Boulevard.
School of Rock. He had three shows running simultaneously on Broadway last season.
Yeah, and four when I did Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset Boulevard was the fourth running.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're gonna walk out saying, it's guaranteed that you're going to say, what a beautiful score that was, what beautiful music you just heard, whether you're into the show or not. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. The music is gorgeous. So were you able to meet and work with Lloyd Webber on this show?
Yes. Well, I actually first worked with him on, like I said, on
Sunset Boulevard
the revival,
of course,
on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he came out to Detroit. Detroit is where we opened the show. We were there for 2 weeks previewing and then opening the show officially. And he came and worked with it, and he really worked with us. And we had a whole session on one of our numbers. It's called Dear Old Friend. It's this very intricate quartet between myself, Christine, and the Giries.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and worked that down to its core, getting to exactly what he wanted it to be, what it was in his mind when he first wrote it in the late 90s. He came and it was amazing. And then he came back, actually, because he was so affected and moved by it. He loved the production so much that he came back to see it again.
Oh, God, that's great. That's cool.
Oh, one of the most memorable moments of not only my career, but my life, you know.
So
listening to Andrew Lloyd Webber, he comes on stage with us to take a bow, and he's just sobbing.
Oh, that's awesome!
Crying. This is a huge pet project for him because, you know, it's no secret that when he first wrote it, it wasn't ready to be produced. It just didn't do so well in London. The original production of Love Never Dies.
Right. It was shut down, and a new creative team was brought in, and massive rewrites and reopened.
Yes, and then kind of closed again, to be honest.
Yep.
And it just, you know, whatever was going on in London in the time, it was just not well received. And our director, Simon Phillips, took it and said, you know, I think I can make something really great out of this. And Andrew said, okay, great. And Simon took it to Melbourne and created the production that audiences will see in Austin this coming week. And it was a huge success in Melbourne and a huge success in Hamburg. And now it's been an amazing success around the country for the last year and a half.
Great. So now while I looked at the website for the tour dates, and you close here in Austin on December 2nd, and I saw no dates after that. Is this your closing performance?
This is our closing city.
Wow. That's how there's...
For this leg of Love Never Dies, I'm sure there will be more. But for this... current production, yes, we close in Austin on December 2nd.
Well, that
is Austin an even more special city for us.
Yeah. So have you been to Austin before?
I have not. I have not, and I am told that I'm going to love it. So
many,
the best is on, I guess.
Many people do. Do you have any, are you looking forward to anything in particular while you're here?
Oh, the bats. I'm told I have to go see the bats.
Yep.
Bats are pretty batty.
Fly out of the cage. Yeah. My dad's coming to visit, actually, for his 65th birthday that week.
Oh, lovely.
So he just called me yesterday and said, you know, I don't know anything about Austin except we have to go see the Bats. Someone just told me.
You have to see the Bats. So, you have to eat the barbecue.
Oh, yes. You know, I've had Austin barbecue. I worked with a guy who was from there, and he used to fly it up to Philly from Austin and treat everybody to this amazing barbecue. Yeah, I've had that. So that'll be happening for sure.
Great. And then, of course, you have to have at least one breakfast taco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's like the taco trucks, yeah?
Well, their trucks are everywhere. Breakfast tacos are everywhere. It's a staple of breakfast food here in Austin.
Okay.
Cities in Austin will argue whether their breakfast tacos are the best, but of course Austin has the best. So you'll get some breakfast tacos here. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. So just so before I hang up with you and find out a little bit more about you, you're going to be coming here. I'm telling folks that they can get information at austin.broadway.com for Love Never Dies, which is playing November 27th through December 2nd. And you, this is your last stop. Do you have something lined up that you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm doing a couple little projects after this. Yeah, I'm doing a production of Little Women at a theater called Savannah Repertory Theater there in Savannah, Georgia.
That's wonderful.
And yeah,
I love that show.
I'm looking forward to the new year and have some irons in the fire, and we'll see exactly what's going on in the coming months.
Well, wonderful.
Looking forward to a nice break after being on the road for a year and a half.
Yeah, sure. That's a long time to be on the road, and those of us that have done tours, it's a very interesting dynamic. It's a wonderful dynamic that you get with the cast and crew.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's just going to be a lot about like, okay, now who am I again, and where do I live? And what's my normal life like? Recreating that, you know.
Well, great. Well, Sean Thompson, thank you.
Time on tour.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it will continue to be. Well, Sean Thompson, thank you so much for joining us here on Offstage and on the Air.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And I wish
Happy
you all.
Gobble.
Yeah, gobble, gobble, gobble. So by the time people hear this, they will have already gobble, gobbled. But you and I have not gobble, gobbled.
Right.
Great. Well, take care and good luck here while you're here in Austin, although I know you don't need it. And best wishes for what comes next. You're going to have a hole in your heart after December 2nd.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been a very full and complete year, you know?
Sure.
So it'll be okay to put it down and sort of get back to, you know, like I said, like what life even is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time out and talking to us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Sean Thompson. He's currently starring in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Love Never Dies, currently on tour and playing the Bass Concert Hall now through December 2nd. For more information, you may visit austin.broadway.com.
So glad you're here on lovely day.
Well, that was like a big hot how do
like,
you do ending.
That was epic ending.
Excellent.
It was for us, really.
Well, we just have time to say goodbye, so goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stick around for Backstage at Offstage if you're listening on the podcast. If not, stick around for Austin Monitor News. They're next. Join us next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is an honor of the season we're in.
When you see your own breath in the morning and the leaves have completed their turn.
At the bottom of many a garden.
All right, the curtain has just come down on Pelham 123, the musical. And it was a train wreck of a show.
Oh my gosh.
Anybody get that? That's an inside joke. Anyway,
I know what you're doing. You're doing
Pelham
the
123 is the subway.
Yeah. There's a movie, you know.
So actually, you're right. So Pelham 123 is the 1, 2, and 3 train. It's just so funny.
You're sitting here yelling at me that it's the green 6, and I'm like, no, it's
That's
the red.
That's so funny. Okay, so
you argued with me and told me I was wrong.
I did not say you were wrong. I just said you're always right.
In a snarkastic way.
I'm very snarky.
Snarkastic.
That's what I do.
So snarkastic. Lisa whips it together. Snarkastic.
Was indeed my sorority name in college. So we're backstage. We've left the backstage door. We're out here next to the dumpsters. And joining us is Megan Ortiz. And we're so happy for you to have you backstage.
Thanks for having me.
So remind me,
Have you been backstage before?
I have not.
Oh, good. We didn't. So we get.
I don't think you have.
Well, she just said no. So, yeah, no. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I was a little late to answering, but I was thinking to myself. Oh, I didn't think so.
Nope.
So then let's learn about Megan Ortiz. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Ohio, from the Buckeye State.
Why, oh, why? What city?
Why did I ever leave Ohio? I'm from a little cow town called New Carlisle, which is closer to Dayton, I think, is okay. More of a recognizable name.
So Ohio. So most people in. Did you do theater in Ohio?
In high school, I did theater.
High school. So they didn't say high school in Ohio.
I've been here for about 7 years, so okay. The South has, you know, it's made its way in.
All right. So you did high school theater.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do theater in college? Where did you get that bug?
So all of my family are musically inclined. Most of them either played instruments or sang. Yeah. Or did
I'm
going
to stop
like
you.
That.
You just took your microphone and you turned it away from your mouth. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to put that closer to your mouth instead.
I'm sorry, come back.
So, you have to go on a date with the microphone in here.
All your family's all first. Musical. Well, they will. These microphones are very cosmopolitan.
They are.
Nice.
So your whole family were musically inclined.
Yes, and my mother was. My mother would dance, and so I had always wanted to do some kind of performance. And so as soon as I got out of high school, I had to take a 1 year break, but I went to the American Musical and Dramatics Academy in New York.
AMDA, which used to be in the Ansonia building.
Yes.
Still in the Ansonia building.
That's where I went.
Yep. So back when I lived in New York, Ansonia Studios is one of the audition rehearsal hall places.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go up to the roof of the Ansonia, which is gorgeous. You could just walk up there back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there and it's 75th Street,
that
of something
right.
on Broadway,
76.
And mm-hmm. you get these, and it had these, it was just a beautiful old New York building,
mm-hmm.
And the roof was great. Anyway, so you went to AMDA.
Yeah.
I think AMDA as a school existed, but it didn't have quite the prestige and the name recognition that it has right now.
Yes, agreed, for sure. Yeah.
So you did 2 years there?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after that, I actually ended up having my daughter. So I took a break for a while,
uh-huh.
left New York, went back to Ohio, and kind of stayed out of doing any kind of theater until we got down here to beautiful Austin, Texas.
Okay, well, we'll just hold that thought because we want to find out how you got here, but I want to stick with New York. So you went to AMDA,
mm-hmm.
Straight from Ohio. Is that your college of choice from out of high school after
yes.
you took a year off?
Mm-hmm.
And so why AMDA? And did you stay in New York afterwards? And how did that go?
I chose AMDA. Honestly, there was a poster up on the wall in my choir room in the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Interesting.
And I was like, that looks incredible. And I looked up their programming and they had a lot of dance intensive things and stuff like that. So I was like, I really want to audition here. And of course, it's New York City, being from a cowpoke town. I wanted to go to the big city. So that
sure.
was definitely my first choice and was super excited when I got in. And then what was your other question?
And then you spent some time in New York afterwards, and how did that go?
I did, yeah. So
because it's my first year in New York was really really hard, and you know certain things had to conspire to keep me there,
mm-hmm.
or else I wouldn't have stayed.
Right.
Some people.
She'll never forgive me for locking her in the basement all those years.
Yeah, but listen. I liked it there. It was nice and cool. So how long did you stay there after school?
After school, we were there for about 2 years. I met my husband pretty much right after school and had my daughter there. I had my daughter at New York Presbyterian. I had my daughter on the day that the Metro went on strike.
Wait, you were uptown.
Mm-hmm.
New York Columbia Presbyterian
yes.
is at 168th Street.
Yes. So,
I've been in that hospital many times because I lived up there. That was my neighborhood.
Nice.
I lived at 162nd Street. So wow. So you went up there. That
I never
was
went up to any of those.
Yeah,
but
that's
I'm
where
the
I had my
downtown girl. So
yeah, that's where mm-hmm. I went. I went to the emergency room with chest pains there. I had knee surgery there. I just know them like that. So what's your daughter's name?
Camille.
And she's 8 years old now?
Oh, I love you. She's going to be 13 in
13.
December.
Well, shout out to Camille.
Yes,
yeah.
She will correct you at that age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is she artistically inclined or musically inclined by the rest of the... I'm guessing it's not Ortiz clan, but whatever clan.
Yes, well, it's on both sides. She definitely has music and all of that on both sides. She loves to dance. She's really into drawing. Drawing is her main her main focus, and she's fantastic. She
gets
that from her daddy.
She should come see Fun Home.
Oh, she is.
Has things to do with drawing.
She's excited
about
it.
Does your husband draw and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where she gets it from. Because that's not where my art goes.
Me either.
Not at all. I'm like,
I'm the same way.
Nope. I can't do a good stick figure. You're like, what is that? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So did you have a modicum of success in New York? Did you do any showcases? Did you get any, did you have any movement there theater wise?
I didn't actually get an opportunity to even really audition all that much because you weren't, when you were at AMDA, you weren't allowed to audition
right.
up until
Which,
your fourth semester.
By the way, I think is crazy. Criminal.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that used to drive me crazy in New York. Anyway, but that is fodder for a whole nother show.
Right. And then the only showcase I did there was my showcase at AMDA, which I did get some calls to go audition and do things. So, but right after I graduated, I got pregnant with my daughter the day before I went in to have her because I had to have a C-section.
Mm-hmm. At Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, by the way, if you didn't know.
And so I get a phone call and I was being asked to come in and audition again for the national tour of Junie B. Jones.
Oh.
And I was like,
could you meet me at the hospital and come into my room?
You know, and I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I would love to, but I'm about to have a baby tomorrow. And not literally, but I could just hear them ripping up my headshot and resume. I'm like, so I did not get the opportunity to do anything in New York, unfortunately.
Wow, so that's interesting. So we talk about the, have you thought about what your life may have been like had you auditioned and won that role?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. I think the one show I did on Broadway closed very quickly. And I think of what my life would have been like had that show run. Mm-hmm. It would have been very different.
It's so incredible.
But you don't know it would have been different in a good way.
I don't.
That's true. Exactly.
So you can't stop and think about that stuff. Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Oh, yeah, you can. And I do it quite often.
But it's not good for yourself, Lisa.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm sticking with it.
It's therapeutic.
So, why Austin? I've got a guess in my mind why Austin. But
ooh, what's your guess?
Well, your husband is in tech, and I'm guessing he got a job here.
Well, so
you are an investigative reporter, aren't you?
Just saying.
We're very, very close. Very, very close. Uh-huh. We actually have family in New York. We have family in Ohio, and we have family here in Dallas. And we had lived in New York for a while near one set of family. And then we moved to Ohio, and we lived there near another set of family. But we both hate the snow.
It's a four-letter word.
It is a four-letter word. And
it's a beautiful four-letter word. White and fluffy.
When you don't have to live in it, then it is.
Right?
Otherwise, it's no bueno.
Don't
disagree, but go ahead.
But so our other family lives here in Dallas, and we didn't want to move to Dallas.
Yes, thank you.
You know, so what better place to move to
came here.
But then, you know, Austin for him and myself.
Dallas
and
did
you
get is good for fried chicken, Bubba's.
Oh my God.
You cannot say the word Dallas around Nicole Scherer without her mentioning
because
that.
It's, you know,
Bubba's?
I live there.
Bubba's?
I went to school there. My greatest experience was at Arts Magnet, but the second greatest thing is Bubba's. Otherwise, no reason to go.
Fried chicken.
I'm
ready
greatest
for it.
Ever.
Never been there.
Right by
SMU. So you come to Austin, and did you immediately start getting involved in the theater scene here?
It took me about a year before I started getting involved in the theater because my daughter had just started kindergarten, so I wanted to wait and you know, make sure that she was doing okay, and she was. So then I finally.
And she's now in middle school.
She is.
Is she at the Ann Richards School?
No, she's not. But I won't tell you what elementary school she's at, Lisa. Not on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably wise. Good. Well, cool. That's awesome. So. And now you're marketing director. Is that your title, Scottish Rite?
Yes.
So that's cool. Do you have a background in marketing?
I do not.
Okay.
Actually, not at all. But I'm learning a lot of really great things through this experience and just kind of gleaning things from people around the community as well. And it's opened up other parts of the theater that I've never been involved in because I've always been on stage.
Yeah.
So this is really fantastic.
The Scottish Rite is a neat space with a rich history, and there's so many. It is a really hidden little gem. I used to do a lot of the children's theater there a long time ago. I was in show after show for seasons. It is a magical little gem.
It is.
It's also the building where O. Henry met his wife when it was the Opera House.
That's right.
There's just so many cool facts, and it is. It's a magical, magical place.
It's beautiful, and it's fun to watch the kids come in. And
children watching theater is just
it's gorgeous.
It is pretty magical.
But they
it
come
is.
In, and they look at the place, and they're like, oh, this is pretty, and then they get to the theater, and all of them... And it does. It just makes your heart beat a little faster.
Because they are raw and will tell you what they feel.
Exactly. I saw a production of James and the Giant Peach at the Scottish Rite a few years back. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
Oh, I believe
the cast was excellent.
Wasn't the ladybug just so good? Yes. I believe she played the mom and the aunt too, right?
You're correct.
Yeah.
Well, so it's so great to have you here. There was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was.
It went
so.
With my question with King Kong that has still right. not come to me, good. Just FYI.
So thanks for coming here. I do want to take a moment, since we're not under the same restrictions here on the podcast. Everybody, Fun Home opens a week from Thursday.
Yeah.
You need to come and see it. Groundfloortheater.org. We have an amazing cast. We have an amazing creative team. And I say this without a slight to my own abilities, I am the weakest link in the show. Everybody else is so good.
That's not true.
No, I say that as not a slight to my own abilities. I am a good director. These people make me better. And so yes. this is a great reason to come and see the show. So groundfloortheater.org, tickets are $30, or if you can't afford it, it's pay what you can. So please come see it. We open the 6th, we close on the 22nd. And that's it. Anything else you want to hawk that while we're not under the rules, you can just tell people to do stuff?
Oh, I can just tell people to do stuff.
You can just tell people to do stuff.
Well, if you're going to do some stuff and you want to do it with the kiddos, come on over to Scottish Rite, and we're running from December 1st through December 15th.
How much are tickets?
The tickets are $15 for adults and $10 for children.
You can't beat that with a stick.
No, and it's free for children that are under the age of 2.
Like me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. That's actually
I remember what I was going to ask you. So we'll end the show with this. You went to AMDA, the American Musical...
Dramatics Academy.
Yeah, Dramatics Academy. So one would assume that you sing...
I do.
One would assume that you act.
I do.
Do you also dance? Are you a triple threat?
I do.
Okay.
She does it all.
Did you take classes over there? Because right over there is a dance belt. So there's all those places to take classes.
I went over Broadway there dance and Center. I would take classes over there. I took about 15 classes a week just in school.
Do you still take class?
I do take class. I just got back into it. I actually have a condition called Arnold's Chiari malformation.
Wow. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Well, if you have to have something, it's right. got a cool sounding
name. It's
got
to have a cool name. But what that is that my cerebellum grows down into my spinal canal, which is why I had to take a year off of school. I had already been accepted to AMDA, but we found that I had this malformation, and it was eventually going to paralyze me.
Oh, my.
And so they had to go in and... They had to take out part of my skull to give my brain.
They recreated
and
you. You're the bionic woman.
I am the bionic woman.
You didn't notice when she jumped earlier? You heard.
See? Yeah, I have my own sound effects. But it actually messes with my balance. And so I dance, but I can only dance up to a certain level because I can't turn because my body's
so
like,
no. That's got to suck for a performer, especially a professional performer in New York, because if you're not a triple threat, you're really
you're in trouble.
Limiting yourself.
Listen, exactly. Sandy Duncan does it with one eye.
Fair.
So she's over here
more
doing it without a pirouette, and it's right. still all working.
So if you were to do any role in any musical, what would it be?
Ooh, I think I would want to do... Ooh, I wouldn't be allowed to do it, but Queenie and Wild Party.
Queenie and Wild Party. Ooh, probably awesome, good choice.
Which Wild Party?
Yeah, which Wild Party?
Lipa.
The Lipa
so
version.
Funny. This morning I was just having... Wild Party, which version?
Yep.
Just this morning.
Lipa. Lipa's definitely my favorite.
Well, great. Well, Megan Ortiz, thank you for joining us backstage.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
We'll see you, and welcome back, Nicole Shiro, and
Hello.
See you later.
Yes.
Oh, we should do, we should just say that Fun Home's going to be on, can we say that?
If you want to say.
Yeah, I want to say Fun Home's going to be on John Ailey's show, on KUTX, next week sometime.
Yes.
Thursday, probably.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, give a listen to that. Fun
can
home.
Hear some people sing some songs.
Yeah.
You can, la, 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 la,
you can come. Yeah, you're going to hear me. La 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 la. Okay, see you. Bye, everybody.
FYI.
Stir my soul. When I first met Burris, he was grand. You understand? I was scared and awfully lonely, hungry and hopeful.